Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Luke chapter 7. And he answered them, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me." This is the text. Last week, we heard John the Baptist make everyone feel offended, uncomfortable to say the least, as he calls the people to repent and says, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee the wrath to come?" And there is a place for that kind of preaching within the kingdom of God. I mean, the issue in this world is that most people are convinced that their understanding of God is the correct understanding. You know, even the terrorist who is blowing themselves up in the hope of killing others think that they are doing this as a service to God. Now, our goal within the church is to struggle for and to wrestle with the truth. What plagues our world is a misunderstanding about what, the truth of the Messiah really is. The terrorist who is killing themselves in the name of God believe they have the truth. They have this misunderstanding of who God really is. I've been teaching the 5th and 6th grade religion class over at St. James this winter trimester. And right now we're in the process of focusing in on the Trinity and the two natures of Christ, that he is true God and true man. And these faithful young children of God, they do not have a complete understanding of who the Messiah is. However, I have chosen to confront their lack of understanding of who the Messiah is in a different way than I think anyone would suggest confronting the lack of understanding demonstrated by the bomb-toting terrorist. The one difference, there is at least one difference between the terrorists and the children over at St. James School. The one difference is that even though those 5th and 6th graders do not have a complete understanding of all the intricacies of the three persons being one God, as if it's possible for any of us to, have a complete understanding of the creator of the universe whose presence stretches beyond the borders of his creation. Think about that for a minute. Even though those children do not have a complete understanding of God in their minds, they are faithful children of God in search of the truth. And they confess their faith in the one true God, whose fullness they cannot comprehend from an intellectual standpoint, yet they are sure of what they hope for and certain of what they do not see, which is the definition of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. One of the primary places where they do this and demonstrate this is right here in worship. Confessing their faith, just as we all did together, in the words of the Nicene Creed, joining with the rest of us who also have no way of completely knowing the fullness of God, they make a confession of faith, which does express a fullness of God's salvation and a fullness of what he has chosen to reveal about himself. That we can do. But in dealing with children who are learning, or even with dealing with the adult layperson who is continuing to learn and grow in their understanding about God, it's important to deal with them differently than, say, I would deal with a pastor or other authority who is teaching false things. When John the Baptist calls the scribes and Pharisees a brood of vipers, You know, from a theological standpoint, he's punching them in the mouth. St. Paul compares his ministry to being in a boxing match. In 1 Corinthians, he says, "I do not box as one beating the air." You know, he throws punches with purpose. Now, if we carry out this analogy, if we look at ministry as Paul did, as you know, being in training for a fight, and then also sometimes having to be in an actual fight, there's two reasons to engage in this sort of sparring, training, and even fighting. Most of our training, it's to teach the people of God how to defend yourself against the false teacher who wants to do you harm. This is why we teach children the catechism. This is why we print portions of Luther's catechism in the bulletin every week for all the adults also, so we don't forget the truth of how God has presented himself in his word, and we put it into a form that is easily digestible, that you can read this, you can memorize it. This is also why we correct and rebuke false ideas about God before those false ideas can take hold, because we do not want false ideas to take root in any of the people of God. It's much harder to get out after time. And this kind of verbal sparring, it's helpful, but sometimes it can hurt. The girls and I did a year of Taekwondo, and sometimes when you're sparring, it's training, but you get kicked in the head. And that's not fun. And if you ask them in particular, they really didn't enjoy that part of it. But it was something that was for teaching purposes. Now, when they did it well, they didn't kick hard. They just taught you to get your hands up. And that's what we do, because when we're going to go out into this world, we need to be able to have our hands up and know how to defend ourselves. It is different to deal with one another in that way, as opposed to stepping into the ring with a false teacher who is trying to knock you out. It was not wrong for John the Baptist to throw the verbal punch that he did, as we saw last week, at that brood of vipers. They were the self-proclaimed keepers of the law. They had chosen to step into the boxing ring, and John threw haymakers at them. He was trying to knock them out. Jesus does the same thing. When Jesus confronts the scribes and Pharisees in Matthew 23, he punches them in the mouth. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, you whitewashed tombs. Oh, you're beautiful on the outside, but on the inside you're filled with dead men's bones and every uncleanness." You know, that's just one of the seven woes that Jesus has for the Pharisees. You know, they had stepped into the ring, and Jesus dealt with them accordingly. When John the Baptist's disciples come to Jesus and clearly do not have a complete understanding of who the Messiah is, I mean, they have heard the faithful testimony of John the Baptist, who proclaimed Jesus to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. They may have even been present when John baptized Jesus and God the Father spoke from heaven and said, "This is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased." They should not have had to ask the question, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another?" In answering them, Jesus does not punch them in the mouth. These are faithful men in search of the truth. Jesus doesn't even scold them. And before he answers them, he heals many people with all sorts of diseases, casts out evil spirits. He restores the sight of those who were blind. And then he answers them and says, go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them. When you read Isaiah chapter 35, which is, you know, those are words that would have been well known to any Jew. It's one of the great, you know, songs of the prophet Isaiah. What Jesus says is almost word for word what Isaiah says was going to happen when the Messiah came. Jesus deals with them in gentleness and leads them to the Word of God. These men had not stepped into the ring. They did not need to be punched in the mouth to get his point across. They needed to hear the Word of God. Now, the Word of God is not all smiles and hugs. And sometimes sparring with it, you know, it does hurt. However, as C.F.W. Walther classically stated in his work, The Proper Distinction Between Law and Gospel, he says the gospel must predominate. Properly applying law and gospel, Walther says, is the highest art of the Christian in general and of the theologian in particular. So what does all this mean? Well, we need to look at how Jesus and John the Baptist and St. Paul and the Old Testament prophets, how they dealt with those who had proclaimed themselves to be authorities versus how they dealt with the average layperson. False teachers throw punches at everybody with the intent to do harm. Now, if you ask them, they'll say, oh, we're doing the work of the Lord. And very often, God's representatives are forced to step into the ring and stand in harm's way because the shepherd's job is to keep the sheep from being hurt by those who are striking them. However, learning the truth of the Word of God so as to know how to defend yourself is a necessary skill for the layperson also. I can't follow you around and interject myself into every conversation you have in life, which is why part of my calling is to teach you how to defend yourself. How do we do this? Now, Paul says to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Well, we start with the knowledge of the truth. You must be involved in Christ's word and with his true church so that you can know the knowledge of the truth, so that you have the words of the catechism and the creed and you know the words of scripture at your ready so that you can defend yourself, so that when you hear something that doesn't sound right, you actually know that it doesn't sound right. The challenging part is applying that knowledge, applying that word of God. How does Paul say to fight the good fight of faith? In his words, immediately before he says that classic, you know, line, fight the good fight of faith. We all know those words. Immediately before that, he warns of those who have an unhealthy craving for controversies and quarrels about words. He says, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. In balancing the use of law and gospel, regardless of your vocation, because this isn't just about pastors, in balancing the use of law and gospel, we pray for God's mercy when we fail. And we will fail often. As you are trying to train up others in the Word of God, you're going to end up hitting someone a little harder than you intended. As we train together, forgive me if I ever punch too hard. And please tell me if I do, because it is never my intent to do any harm. It is simply my goal to teach you how to defend yourself. We want to carry out this analogy. We strive to be patient and gentle. Because of one thing I am quite confident, when we stand before the Lord on the day of judgment, he's not going to be mad at you or me because we didn't verbally punch enough people in the mouth. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.